Since the beginning of time, Satan has worked to create the perfect killer. One who kills many without reason. One who cannot be stopped. Today, that man exists. Be warned.
We're just going to go through a very small door here.
Lou Diamond Phillips is hunting a man who kills for the sake of killing. Tracy Griffith might be the only one who can help stop him.
I know where he's going next.
But this location fits the pentagram pattern on the map, and my informant says this is where he's going to strike next.
You can't go on killing forever.
You want a bet?
The First Power.
Where you going, Rudy?
I'm in the goddamn club, aren't I?
How I've waited for you to come. I've been here all along. Now that you've arrived, please stay a while. And I promise I won't keep you long. I'll keep you for another minute.
Welcome to Reddit Horror Club. This is Justin.
This is Anna.
And we're here for a bit of a shorter episode this week. We're a day late and a buck short, but unfortunately that's just how life goes sometimes. We already have a conversation going over on the subreddit, so please join in about this week's selection, which was from Muhammad Is My Allah. His real name's Joel. He was unfortunately not able to join us, but this is his first round as part of the club, and we welcome him, and we welcome him with a great selection in 1990's The First Power. But before we start talking about that, Anna, we have some announcements.
We do. We're announcing the winners of our round, last round.
Yes, round 13. And without any further ado...
For best, we chose Housebound.
Yes, and that was Cannon's pick. A great pick from Cannon. A great episode where he got a chance to talk to us a bunch, and just a really fun movie. We both agreed. Was a standout for you. You said hands down that was your favorite, right?
Definitely, that was my favorite.
Definitely, and then I had a couple that were up there with me, but that was definitely one of the top for sure. So that was a pretty easy consensus pick for us. Also a pretty easy consensus pick was The Worst. Anna, what was The Worst?
That was Don't Look in the Basement, which was just universally panned.
Yes, including by from Adam, who chose it, as he said, just to fuck with us. So thank you, Adam, for that. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
But actually not quite as bad around as you could think. If that's The Worst, I think we've had many worse than that in the past, so... Not necessarily, even though it wasn't a good movie, it still was entertaining at times. So, you know, there's that.
Ironically entertaining.
Ironic, yes. Entertaining for the reasons it wasn't necessarily trying to be, I think. But,
right.
Our third category was fan favorite, and based on the votes, we had an overwhelming answer of Dog Soldiers, which was a great pick.
Dog Soldiers was Scott's pick.
Great pick, Scott. Sorry. So thank you, Scott, for picking what was also one of my favorite movies of the round and a movie I hadn't seen in some time. So thank you. Great picks all around. And I'll be reaching out to each of you for your email addresses because you also won some free subscriptions to Grindhouse Channel as we gave away one last week. So these will all be for a 1 month trial. So enjoy. I thank you guys for your picks and for joining in this round. I'm hoping that this next round is even more fun and we can get even more discussions going. We had a couple really nice lively discussions with a couple of these. But with without any more fanfare, we'll actually talk about this week's film. So,
and now our feature presentation.
Anna, the
no,
first
further
power.
Ado.
The first power. What did you think?
Okay. So I made fun of it the entire time I watched it. It was schlocky and terrible. I'm ashamed of Lou Diamond Phillips.
That's funny. I think we differ. I actually really liked it. I really liked it. Now, I won't pretend it wasn't schlocky, but I think I tend to be a little bit more on the schlock side than you in general. So that probably, yeah. And it was made in 1990, so it was one of those cusp films where, like, it wanted to be more serious than an 80s film, but it still was as cheesy as an 80s film.
not only was it still firmly an 80s film in 1990, but it was still firmly like a satanic panic film in 1990.
Yeah, that's fair. That's completely fair. Definitely. And, an interesting plot for those of you who hopefully have watched the film, and even if you haven't, we'll relatively quickly explain that the movie's about a killer who is known as the Pentagram Killer, and mm-hmm. he goes around killing, and he gets caught. He gets caught very early by super cop Lou Diamond Phillips, who's
right.
Just incredible cop. I don't know about all that, but he's certainly no Richie Valens in La Bamba in this movie, I'll say that. And I'm a big fan of that movie, to be honest. But so nonetheless, Lou Diamond Phillips catches this guy, and the guy even says to him, you know, I want to be put to death, you know, and he's like, okay, cool. I think his line was, I knew, you know, oh, no one's going to be as bad as you or some stupid thing. And then he said, oh, I know I could count on you, Russ. I owe you. Ha, ha, ha. So and he keeps calling him, like, buddy throughout the movie, doesn't he? Like, you know, like when he like appears to him, like buddy or something. I don't know. It's really weird. But,
yeah, that happens.
The killer is just kind of really, he's the schlockiest thing, I think. Just even the way he talks. I don't
know.
Yeah,
like, that actor's name is Jeff Ober.
Okay. Do you know him from anything else?
I do. He was actually in this current season of The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Briefly, and he's also, he plays the super, like, you know, on New Girl, so he, like,
okay.
fixes the pipes and shit in their building.
Okay, that's interesting,
yep.
Okay. So, so I was unfamiliar with him, at least, you know, without really thinking about it. I haven't watched New Girl, and I don't watch Walking Dead, although we've talked about this, I know I need to catch up. And I know that next week is, like, the finale, and everybody's talking about it. So.
The 90-minute finale.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. I think it's
yeah.
a full-length movie.
It is. I'm excited.
That is awesome. So basically he gets put to death after Lou Diamond Phillips is warned by some unknown woman who calls him not to put him to death, and he comes back. And he begins inhabiting people's bodies and killing more people and going after Lou Diamond Phillips. And from there,
right, because,
yeah.
Because Satan gave him the first power.
Right. And that takes us until, like, I don't know, two-thirds or more through the film to actually hear what that means. And maybe even longer, actually. It's like pretty far in the end when the nun tells him about the three powers. And the first power is of resurrection. Which is
right.
why I thought, let's start off the round with a resurrection story, since it's Easter. but not exactly the same type of resurrection story. It's a little different.
yeah.
But,
yeah,
and then the nun, you know, basically tells him that, you know, the only person to possess, you know, all three of the powers is Jesus, so you have to use his power to defeat him. And so basically they stab him with a cross. But without going into
right.
all the story, and trust me, that's not a spoiler, because there's still a bunch of ridiculousness going on that that doesn't tell you any of it.
It really doesn't. Does not sum it up.
It really doesn't. Although, so off the top of my head, one of the things that jumped out at me as I couldn't help but think is, man, Lou Diamond Phillips has some really great 80s hair going on. Like, nice coif. Like, it's the whole time, it just looks gorgeous. He has gorgeous hair. I mean, I'm jealous.
He reminds me of Eric Roberts a little bit.
You know how Eric Roberts always had great hair? That's kind of how it is to me.
Great hair. Not so great career.
Well, no, yeah, he definitely doesn't have a great career, unfortunately. I mean, he had a couple really big winners, and then things like this.
I think part of the problem with Eric Roberts is he's standing constantly in the shadow of his sister.
Well, that's true. And Eric Roberts is, on a side note, which hopefully we cover a movie with him in it at some point. We have to, because he's in 6,000 movies.
True.
But I listened to a podcast called Eric Roberts is the Fucking Man, and it's amazing, and anybody who's listening to this should check it out. And they actually, you know, they have a couple episodes that were horror-centric, like a bad werewolf movie he was in last year. Really bad one, to the point where, like, the host said it was one of the worst things they've ever seen in their entire life. So, I would have seen that movie. Maybe. I'm bad with names. I think it was Dark Moon Rising.
Okay, because I remember someone, I was at someone's house the other day, and they had a bunch of, like, DVDs, mm-hmm. and I remember seeing Eric Roberts on the back of one of them, and I couldn't remember which one it was.
Okay, yeah, so there's a movie called The Dark Moon Rising, and that I saw some of the effects, if you want to call them that, from the movie, and I think that was part of what made it completely unwatchable, is it was the most ridiculous effects of all time. But Lou Diamond Phillips, back to him, he reminded me of Eric Roberts because he had that gorgeous hair, but similarly, I think also didn't have the best career arc. Lou Diamond Phillips really hit some nice stuff as a young guy, and then he made some poor choices, probably including the first Power.
There is an episode of Tales from the Crypt that he's in that I like a lot.
Okay.
He plays like an accomplice to Priscilla Presley,
mm-hmm.
and they're like con artists. Let's just say the tables turn on her. Lou Diamond Phillips he's not necessarily her friend.
Okay.
But he plays like this grease monkey who's just, you know, nasty.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I need to dive back into Tales from the Crypt, because that's something that I watched when I was young, and it terrified me, and I don't think it would terrify me now, because, you know, it's not really terrifying for an adult, but it sounds like there's a lot of great, fun stories that I need to revisit. So,
It's one of my favorite shows of all time.
It's
so good.
Well, then I'll be, later on, I'll have to ask you which episodes I need to go find, so you can give me some suggestions.
I can definitely
do
that.
We don't need to bore everybody else with that, but that said,
right.
the movie itself, I think it's a lot of fun, but, like, I don't want to pretend it's a good movie. I want to pretend it's a fun movie. Or not pretend, I actually find it a fun movie. Because, like, ridiculous things, like, for example, one of the scenes that really jumped out as, like, so ridiculous in the best way was, so the killer is coming after Lou Diamond Phillips in, like, a hallway of, like, this, like, dirty apartment building or something. And, and they're fighting, and then the psychic woman who was actually the one who had called him in the beginning, she comes out to, like, help him because she has, like, a vision that he's about to get, like, killed. And she holds up a pentagram, which apparently means he can't hurt her while she's showing him that, because that's protection. But then, like, right after that, when she walks by him, he rips the ceiling fan off, and it suddenly becomes a turbine blade, like, running at them. Yeah,
that,
like,
part was so great.
It was incredible, but I'm like, okay, so how is that being powered? I shouldn't be thinking about this. I should just go with it, because it was like, okay. And then I'm thinking there to myself, like, okay, he wasn't allowed to, like, get her when she held up her pentagram, but now it's cool. You can get her. Like,
right.
I have no idea. Like, that was one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie, because I actually rewound it and rewatched that scene again because I was laughing, and I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything, because I was, like, literally, like, eyes closed, cry laughing when it first happened. So I definitely enjoyed that scene, as well as many others. When the killer possessed other people's bodies, some of them were really fun too. Just some of the ridiculousness, you know, and you could have predicted they were coming, you know, and I want to keep it a little bit from being completely spoiler in this, but whatever. A little bit of a spoiler in that he takes over the body of a nun, and that is pretty much one of my other favorite sequences in the movie.
Nuns with guns.
Yeah, and she starts like telling him, "You wouldn't hit, you good little Catholic boy," and then she kicks him in the nuts. Like, I'm just like, okay. Like, there was just so kind of like weird erotic tones going on with like the nun as well. And, you know, I guess that's kind of common in schlocky movies, even if the movie wasn't schlocky on purpose. And I really don't think it was, which is part of why you laugh at it instead of with it.
Right.
But you know, and I think it was firmly trying to not be the 80s goofball horror stuff that was going on, but yet it failed because it was mostly that, except it took itself too seriously, so it wasn't really the perfect tone that those are, because a lot of the 80s ones are great because they don't take themselves seriously, and I think this movie did take itself a little too seriously.
Definitely.
The performances as a whole were all pretty bad. I can't really say there was anything that stood out as like, oh, they did a great job. Like, oh, no, it was all just real, real cheese. I mean, there's nothing else about it.
My favorite scene is where they're like facing off in the church, and you see him like, he's staring at the killer, right? And he does like this like scarecrow pose, like he's on the cross. He disappears again, and he's like right in front of Lou Diamond Phillips, and then he just leaps like 15 feet in the air over Lou Diamond Phillips through the plate glass window.
Yeah, like where'd he come from? Like the rafters or something? Like, I had no idea like what the hell was going on there. But I guess that just happened over and over. I mean, yeah, although I did think he was, I mean, you know, I thought the way he was, you know, pretending to be up on the cross was really effective in, like, the creepy blasphemer kind of way.
Right.
Like, that was one of the few images that I thought kind of burned as, like, oh, that's, you know, if that's what you're going for, you're doing it there. But they didn't really make any of the other images that jumped out in such a way, so it wasn't effective because it really was just a singular scene. But then, of course, it was followed up by the 15-foot jump, so that does maybe negate it a little bit as well. Yeah, I don't know. So I guess it's probably safe to say we're going to – well, no, I won't say it's safe to say. Why don't I ask you, stash or trash?
Trash.
Yeah, I figured. I'm so on the borderline, right? Because the thing is, I actually rated it on my Letterboxd account a 3.5, which sounds really high, but that's because I had so much fun. I just was laughing, and again, it was laughing at, you know, stuff that wasn't necessarily supposed to be laughed at, but I really enjoyed it. So I think I'd stash it, but I'm not stashing it because it's a good movie. I'm stashing it because it's a fun movie. And I think, again, like I've pointed out with some other movies in the past already, it seems like a movie that would just play real well to a room of friends. You know, just cheesy, cheesy fun. You know, it probably could, even though it's already pretty short, it probably could lose 10 minutes as well and then be a little bit easier for me to just be pure fun. But overall, I think I could watch it, you know, probably once every couple of years with a group of friends and a good amount of beer. So, yeah.
I think that's probably where we differ. Although me and my boyfriend had a good bit of fun watching it, I don't think we'd watch it again for any reason.
And that's completely fair.
We got our fill.
And that's completely fair. And, you know, there's quite a few other Lou Diamond Phillips movies you can enjoy instead. You know, you don't need to stick to this one. Like Red Water, which was a great film about an alligator that, the shark that got into the Mississippi River. Yeah, yeah. And he's, of course, it's just basically Jaws, except made for a sci-fi channel, you know.
Of course, it was made for the sci-fi channel.
Right, and I'm pretty sure it's from the late 90s or early 2000s. It was really one of them. At least it's pre all the Sharktopus, Mega Sharks, Sharknado stuff that they're doing now. But
right.
I think it was a good predecessor to those, perhaps. A little
maybe
less
so.
Self-aware. But I showed you a clip of Lou Diamond Phillips that was ridiculous because my son, we watched the show called Aquabats Super Show. If you're not familiar with the Aquabats, they're a ska punk band from California that's been around for 22 years now. So I remember them when I was in middle school. And they always dressed up as superheroes. Well, the lead singer is the creator of, oh my God, Yo Gabba Gabba. And so he got some sway with Nickelodeon, and he's pitched them this show. And it only lasted for a season on their channel, or maybe a season and a half or so. And he's trying to bring it back through like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or someone. So he's hoping to get, you know, the show back on the air. But it's basically Power Rangers meets the Monkees. So like, you know, if the Power Rangers just stopped in the middle of nowhere and sang songs while they were fighting, it would totally be the show. So, and my kids love it. It's a little less, I feel like when they started watching it, Power Rangers was a little old for them yet, because they were pretty young. I mean, they are still pretty young. They're 5 and 7, but they started watching it a good 2 years ago. And now that they're getting into Power Rangers, whatever, but this show was a better predecessor to that. Plus, it gave me an excuse to bring my son out to his first concert a few years ago, and he absolutely loved the Aquabats, who, coincidentally, since we have a horror podcast here, do sing a lot of songs about, like, old horror sci-fi stuff, like songs like Cat with Two Heads, which is all about, like, you know, a mad scientist who creates a cat with two heads. So, you know, they're a pretty awesome band, and I would suggest anyone sees that, but there's a scene where Lou Diamond Phillips is, like, the sun god, and he bestows upon one of the band members a spirit animal that's an eagle. So it's pretty incredible. And he the eagle's called the Dude, and he summons the Dude whenever he needs help. So, yeah. So that's really where Lou Diamond Phillips is now. He's the sun god for the Aquabats.
Okay.
And probably that's a huge step up from this. So.
Maybe.
I'm telling you, you gotta watch it, because at least this show's self-aware. It knows it's cheap. But nonetheless, like I said, we're gonna have to talk a little bit quicker today because we don't have as much time. But Anna, I know that you have a new piece on the Farsighted that should post today, and probably before this podcast goes up, on your last article about peeps.
Yep, it's my last peep article. I never really got around to getting to Target, which is where like half of the special editions were. So I had to just kind of cut it short. But next week, after the peeps, I've got like a watermelon themed one going on.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited to hear about watermelon Pop-Tarts. So I've never in my life, you know, have heard of a watermelon Pop-Tart, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be hunting.
It's like a limited edition thing. So.
Yeah, I think I need to go hunt for them because that sounds awesome. In addition, you know, we have a lot of stuff going on over on the website. That's my plug. You know, check it out. And next week I'll talk a little bit more about some of the stuff we've been watching when we have a little bit more time. But I guess everybody, thanks for joining us in the first episode of this round, and thanks for sticking with us through the last round. And if you have any ideas on how we could, you know, the club's kind of only got a handful of strong members right now. We really want to grow. So if you have any ideas on how we can grow, ways we can improve the podcast, ways we can improve the club as a whole, please reach out. Over at the Horror Club Reddit or through my email, which is posted in the show notes. So appreciate that. Anna, you have any final words?
Yeah, if you like what we do, you know, share our RSS feed or our link on Facebook, Instagram, any social media you got. Spread the word, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone, and thanks, Anna.
Thank you.
Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, lend me a dollar now. Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, lend me a dollar now. Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, lend me a dollar now. Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, lend me a dollar now. I have no money to pay my rent. All my money has been spent. Pray to God again, oh boy. Satan, please hear my cry. Satan, lend me a dollar. Say the world's gone to hell, and that would be just as well. Satan, lend me a dollar.
his paradigm, that would sure be grand. So won't you come up and lend a helping hand? I sit here with no food upon my shelf, 'cause all the good people want the money for themselves. Ha! Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar now. The IRS, it really sucks. Uncle Sam took all my bucks. If I did pop to make you mad, you wouldn't be half so bad. Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar now. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar now. If you could spare a dime, that would sure be grand. So won't you come up and lend a helping hand? Please, Satan. I sit here with no food upon my shelf, 'cause all the good people want the money for themselves. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 17, 18, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar now. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar. Satan, Satan, lend me a dollar now.
I send you a spirit animal, and that's all you can give me?
Try it again!
I summon the demon!